Have you ever noticed that sometimes our gospel readings pick up with something in the middle of something, or right after something happened? Well, I needed to find out what today's gospel reading was all about, and what happened prior, and where were they coming from? And by the way, who were they? Well, my investigation was about the words, "when they came to the other disciples." Well, who they were and where they were coming from was a question that I had to find out. By reading earlier in Mark chapter 9, I found that Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, was coming back to join the others after the miraculous transfiguration on the mountain in the northern part of Israel. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus had told his disciples that it was time to take up his cross. His calling, along with the three apostles' awareness of it, had been confirmed by the heavenly voice that said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." That's Mark chapter 9, verse 7. And now the road leads to Jerusalem. So Jesus and the others were coming to gather together with the rest of the team, if you will. And wherever Jesus went, he was approached by people for healing, physically, emotionally, and or spiritually. Sometimes they just touch him and they're healed. Well, here in today's Holy Gospel, there's a parent who is desperate with anxiety over his child. Jesus and his apostles, the three apostles, walked into a very tense situation. This father seems to be caught in the middle between faith and doubt, living in a world of half-belief where he's never sure. After the rest of the disciples' failure to heal his son, the man isn't sure if Jesus himself can heal his son and that he'll be able to do it. He says to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the unbelief surrounding them. And this father's response to Jesus' question about how long this boy had been suffering was filled with doubt. "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Can you just imagine this man's doubt? The words, "if you can," wow, "if you can." And Jesus responds to this man's doubtful question and plea by saying, "if you can." Everything is possible for him who believes. In essence, Jesus is telling the man to open his eyes and his heart and his mind to who is standing right in front of him. If you can, really. No more ifs. The word "if" is a test based on a condition. As a former computer programmer, conditions stand in place where it says, "if this happens, do this. If this happens, do this. Else if this happens, do this." And it could be as simple as press 1, 2, or 3 on your phone, and if you press 1, you go to some department, press 2, go to another department, or press 3, go to another department. Wow. But this test that the man was throwing at Jesus, it's not at all like pleading, "please heal my son." If you can, then what? This father's faith is severely lacking. Comparing with the woman who had a bleeding issue for 12 years, this condition did so much to her. It robbed her of money, She'd been declared unclean for 12 years. She had nothing but faith. She knew that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' cloak, that she would be healed. There was no question about it. There was no if about it to give Jesus. The if was hers. The if belonged to her. She knew that if she touched the garment, she would be healed. She didn't say, Jesus, if you heal me, then I'll touch your cloak. The if was on her part. She asked for nothing. Her faith was so strong, and she believed that all she had to do was, if she touched his cloak, her healing would be real. God doesn't want you to make conditions for him. He makes conditions for us. If you read the law of Moses, if you do this, then this will happen. The curses and the law. The ifs are on us. She asked for nothing. Her faith was so strong, she believed if she just touched his cloak, her healing would be real and it would be immediate. And you know what happened? It was. The condition was on her faith and her crawling to see her Savior. There's a huge difference between the faith and the if you can of the boy's father. Jesus put this father on the spot saying, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you come out of him and never enter him again. That's verses 23 and 25 of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus told this man, have faith if you can. He put the if right back on him. If you can, just believe and it will happen. The man's response was shouted out to Jesus, saying he does believe, but he asked the Lord to help him to get rid of any doubt in his spirit. As Jesus addressed this evil spirit, if you will, he called it by name. He called it by name. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him so violently, and came out. That's amazing. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. Well, what happens next is very, very important. Mark writes, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Now, the Greek word, hageron, which actually means raises him up, and the Greek aneste, he arose. Those are resurrection words that are here. Jesus had the power to bring what appeared to be dead and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus had taken this young man who had been steeped in darkness and drove the darkness out of him and lifted him to new life, a life in the light of Christ. Remember that after this, Jesus and his apostles were headed toward Jerusalem. Here is our Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, on his way to his own death and resurrection, rebuking this evil spirit. It leaves the boy apparently dead, but Jesus raises him up, and he arises. The gospel tells us that the apostles needed to get Jesus alone to find out some more. They'd done that before. They wanted to find out what the parable of the sower meant, and Jesus explained it to them. Well, now he said, they said, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Isn't that interesting? He said, this kind. So there's more than one kind of evil spirit? Indeed. That means there's more than one kind of demon as well. And Jesus gave an example. He identified the spirit and called it by name. You deaf and mute spirit. He spoke to a deaf and mute spirit that was inside the boy, causing him this great, great pain. More faith and more power was that what the apostles needed from God himself through prayer. When we're faced with a crisis, we need to ask God to strengthen our faith and to ask him to carry us through. There's so many things in this world that we can't accomplish. We are only empowered to do so many things. And so what do we do when we can't do things? We come to the Lord. We ask God to give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to do things, to carry us, to guide us, and protect us. There's so many things going around called COVID, and we do what we can to protect ourselves, but we have to come to him. We have to come to him to advise us what to do, to give us the courage for each new day. I want to read to you the words from the Apostle Peter. He puts this all into perspective. It's from 1 Peter 5, verses 10 through 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You know what? There can be no ifs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.